Today's shir is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis at the bottom at the Mishnah. V'keim Beis Abad Shuboni B'Sela. We have a oil press where they pressed oil, and it's built into a rack in the mountain. And on the bottom, there is a field where the we could plant things. On top is the oil press. Rashi explains that this Mishnah is referring to a situation, again, of a partnership, of two partners owning this together. And other Rishonim say it doesn't necessarily have to be talking about a partnership situation. It could be a landlord-tenant situation just as well. And you have this oil press on top. You have oil press on bottom. And you have the garden on top, and then the ceiling collapses. The person who had the field on top can move his garden to the bottom and plant there. And until he properly makes a ceiling for the area where he has the oil press, and then this person could go back and plant over there. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question, why is this any different than what we learned in the previous Mishnah, where you have the two-story home and the upstairs collapses and they need to rebuild? What is this Mishnah teaching us different than in the previous Mishnah? So the Rishonim give a number of truths. One teretz is that we learned in the previous Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda, there was machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda in the previous Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if the upper story is only going to be willing to participate in building a new house, and the person who lives on the first story doesn't want to, so we said that that's okay. The upper story will build it by himself, but what will be is that he can't live there by himself without paying rent, or unless he builds the entire house, then he can live there until the person who lives on the bottom floor participates. And the Gemara explained in the previous year, because by living in somebody else's apartment, a new apartment particularly, we explain, you ruin that apartment. That is in that case where there's a new apartment and I'm ruining it. Here we're talking about a field that doesn't exist, and therefore even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that if the upper story isn't rebuilt, if they don't completely rebuild the area, the person from upstairs could go downstairs without any problem. That's one pshat I saw in the Rishayim. Another pshat that I saw in the Rishayim is that the person downstairs, who had empty room, empty space, till now, seeing that the person from upstairs wants to now come downstairs and plant a garden here, said, no, you can't come plant a garden here. I need this empty space because I all of a sudden want to start using it for a garden. Teaches us the Mishnah, that's unacceptable. If there's empty space till now, you have to give that space to the person who lost the opportunity to work upstairs. Now we learn another din. You have a wall or a tree that falls into Shus Rabim, the Ziku, part of Mulshalim. And as the Rishonim explained this too, we're talking about a sturdy wall, a fine tree, and all of a sudden they collapse and they do damage. So you can't, it's a situation of oinus. And therefore the person who owns this tree and wall can't be held responsible. However, if it wasn't a sturdy wall, it would be a whole different din. And that's what the Mishnah indeed says. Nosnu Zman Loketz Elam. If he was given time where we saw that the tree wasn't strong, or Listus or Kaisel, so Bezdin, the Gemara is going to talk about how much time is typically given, gives him a time to repair or take off this wall or tree. And Nosnu Zman Loketz Elam, the listener as a Kaisel, the Nosnu B'Teich Zman, and during this time they collapse. Potter, he's Potter. Lachazman, but if it happens after the time given to this individual, then the individual will be held chayiv, the individual will be held responsible. He should have taken it down. The Mefarshim make an obvious point. Well, be the halacha, where Bezdin sees that my wall, my tree, is about to do damage, and they give me a chance, they give me a time by which to repair it. And I say, you know what? I don't want to go through the bother of repairing it or demolishing it. If they end up doing damage, I'll take the responsibility and I'll pay what I have to pay. That's not an option in the halacha. You can't have a mazik and say that if it'll be mazik, I'll pay. That isn't an option. However, a very important point. What will be the halacha if they fall down and they didn't do any damage and they fall into the Rishus HaRabim and I'm mafkir immediately? So the Rishonim, and we actually learned this earlier in our Masechta, say that I have the ability to be mafkir because it's no longer mine. That means if I have a bad tree or a bad wall and they fall into the Rishus HaRabim, they didn't do any damage yet, and then I'm mazik, and then I'm mafkrit immediately. That hefker is a valid hefker, and afterwards I won't be held responsible. Yeah, but you can be mafkir barbar shus rabim, we learned the Masechta Baba Kama. Now, another halacha. Mishayu koisli somach leginis chaveroi. If somebody has a wall next to somebody else's field, this is very relevant for the next Masechta from Masechta Baba Basra, because this is really what Masechta Baba Basra begins with. So I have a wall next to your field, the Nafal, and my wall falls, Bomalai Penei Avinecha, and you come to me and you tell me, clear away your stones. So before we go further, the Taisus Yontif discusses, what does it have to be a situation that my wall is next to your field? And what is if we have two Chatzeris, and there's a wall right between the two Chatzeris? It ought to have the same halacha. So the Taisus Yontif answers, and again, very much relevant to Masechta Baba Basra, that typically a wall between two chatzeris is a wall that's owned by both partners of the chatzer. So it's not going to be a situation that our Mishnah is discussing where I own the wall and it fell into your gina, because if it's a wall that we both own, we're both equally responsible for it. Another teretz that the Mefarshim give is that the walls that were used to divide a chatzer were made of different material than walls next to a gina. And the walls that were used, the materials used for the wall by the chatzer were materials that were typically reused. Whereas the walls next to a gina were not materials that we reused, and that's why the issue that we can have in the Mishnah can begin. So again, Misha Yekoisle Samach Leginas Chaveri, for Nafal, and my wall falls down. Vamalei, and you tell me, panavanecha, clear away the stones. Vamaloi, and I tell you, higiyucha. You know what? I don't want to clear them away. You can have those stones. The halacha is, ein shaymaloi. I can't tell you, take the stones. The halacha is that I am responsible to clear the stones, and I can't just put them on your shoulders. However, we just said, asked the Mefarshim, that if something falls, I can be mafgrit. So why here can't I just be mafgrit? The answer is very obvious. In the previous case, it fell into Rishus HaRabim. Here it fell into Rishus HaYachid. I can't have something falling into your Rishus HaYachid and then being mafgrit and saying it's no longer my headache. Because in your Rishus, I don't have the ability to do that. That's one pshat Rishonim suggest. Another pshat Rishonim suggest is that here they already did damage. Once they did damage, you don't have the ability to be mafkrit. The option that I mentioned a moment ago, that you could be mafkrit, is only prior to them doing any damage. But let's say on the contrary, Mishikibalov, you said, you know what? Okay, I'm willing to take the stones, and they'll now be my responsibility. And then, after we entered into this agreement, Amalei Heil Chetziyotza, I decide, you know what? I'm not so happy with this arrangement. I come back to you and I say, I understand you spent time and money to clear the stones. I'll pay you for it. But give me back those stones. Vani etel shali, Dalach is ein shaymalai. I don't have that option. I entered into a deal. I have to fulfill it all the way. Another halacha. Hasoichas apar lasis ma betem bekash. I hire a worker to work with me with straw, with hay. Vamalai, and now after my employee finishes his job, he tells me, ten lischari, give me my salary. Vamalai, tomasha sisa bischarecha. And I tell you, I don't want to pay you cash. I want to pay you straw and hay. The halacha is ain't shem alay. You don't have to accept a straw and cat, and hay, you could demand cash. And we have here a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. Why? Rashi explains, we've spent a lot of time speaking about the Isra, about Talin, the Chiv of Yomitit and Scharai. The Torah teaches us certain rules about how employees should be paid. And the Torah uses the words, says Rashi, the words, B'yomitit and Scharai. You know how a worker is paid? A worker is paid in cash. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. The Mordechai explains the Gemara very differently. The Mordechai explains the Gemara that what's the reason somebody goes to work? He needs to feed his family. But human beings don't eat straw. So to tell you, I'm going to pay you with straw, with hay, that's not what you came to work for. What is the nafkamina, l'haloch l'maisa, between Rashi's pshat and the Mordechai's pshat? Two very important nafkaminas. When we learned the sugya about talin, so the Gemara, one of the first halachas we learned, was that there is no isser about talin when the worker, when I didn't hire the worker, when I hired the worker through a shliach. So if we follow Rashi's approach, that the reason I can't pay the worker, tevin v'kash, is because there's a bal talin issue here, but if I hired him through a shliach, there is no bal talin, and perhaps I could pay him tevin v'kash. But if we follow the Mordechai's opinion, that you can't pay a worker tevin v'kash, because he can't eat tevin v'kash, doesn't have anything to do specifically with the laws about talin. But then there's another nafkamina. Let's say you're not, the worker isn't working with me with tevin v'kash, which are obviously not foods eaten by humans. He works with me with real food. And I want to pay him food. So if we follow Rashi's opinion, that it's exeus akosiv, I have to pay him a salary in cash. So even though I'm willing to pay him something which is usable, food, delicious food, it wouldn't make a difference. But if we follow Mordechai's opinion, a worker is working for something that he needs, that he could use, so then perhaps I could pay him with food. Now, when we learn this Mishnah, the obvious question that comes to mind is that we all know that, and the concept has come up many times, Shava Kesef Kekesef. The halacha treats the equivalent of Kesef equally to Kesef. Here, we're learning a situation, no, you have to give Kesef. So the Rishonim categorize the halacha. And they explain, when it comes to wages, that's where there's a special din, as we just explained, that you have to give Kesef. When it comes to payback a loan, the halacha is that if you have cash available, you have to give the person who lent you money cash. If you don't have cash available, there the halacha is shava kesef kekesef. When it comes to nezikin, that means if you damage somebody else and you have to pay, the halacha is that lechatchila you could give shava kesef. Even if you have cash available, lechatchila you could give shava kesef. Just as a special gzeres akosef, that if you're going to be paying with karka, then you have to give idyas, because the Torah says, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karmoi, Yishalom. Now says, the Mishnah 1 Halacha, Mishakibalov, I hired you to work for me, and we agreed at the beginning of the terms of deployment that I will pay you with cash for Tevin. Vamaloi, and after you finish working, I say, you know what, I want to change the terms. Helech Scharcha, take cash wages, v'nei etel shali, and I want to keep the cash for tevin. The halacha is once we agreed, you have to follow. I, the employer, have to follow the agreement. Ain't shemela. So nifchasa. We began the mishnah. We were speaking about the case where it collapsed, where this beis habad, where the garden collapsed, the ceiling, the floor collapsed, and we have a machlokes similar to the machlokes we learned previously, between Rav and Shmuel, what is considered collapsing? Rav Amar Berubay, it's only considered collapsed if most of it fell in. Shmuel Amar Ba'arba. Arba Tfachim is already considered that the din of the Mishnah applies. Rav Amar Berubay. Rav says only if most of the area collapsed does the din of the Mishnah apply. Al Ba'arba, Let's say it'll be a hole of 4 tefachim. So, of course, I have to make up that space. And I have to give you downstairs an area of 4 tefachim where you could plant. And you'll, but, Rav says, to have a situation where you'll have part of your field downstairs and part of your field upstairs, according to Rav, is an acceptable situation. Even if it's a whole, even if it's a space as small as 4 tefachim square, and therefore you could say, I'm not willing to have this type of arrangement where part of the field is upstairs and part of the field is downstairs. However, the Rishonim qualify, and they say that this halacha that Shmuel says, that the person could say, I'm not willing to have part downstairs and part upstairs, is only in a situation where it's a field that you're planting crops or vegetables that you constantly are planting. But let's say it's an area. Let's say it's an area where you are planting a field. Let's say it's an area where you're planting a crop that only needs tending a couple of times a year. So even Shmuel will agree, say to Rishonim, that to take a position that I'm not accepting this, you can't take. So ask the Gemara, why do we have to have the same machlokes twice? B'tzrich, diyashmin and dira, if we only had the case of dira, b'shakam Shmuel, that's where Shmuel said his halacha, b'shalom deloya vidi inchi, people are not prepared to accept the diary pertahacha pertahacha. In the previous case, where you were living upstairs and you have a break in the floor, and I'll give you the equal amount downstairs, Shmuel says people don't want to live that way, part upstairs, part downstairs. Avalinian's real. Here we're talking about planting a garden. Avidi inshi, the zari hachaparta, vachaparta. It's not an unacceptable situation, and therefore perhaps, aim a moide leil rav. Vietn bahach, if we only had this Mishnah, and this, and the machloek is here between Rav and Shmuel, we would perhaps say, behach kama Rav. Here Rav says this halacha, that's no big deal to be part upstairs and part downstairs. Abaho, when it comes to living arrangements, Rav will agree, eimim moide leil Shmuel, that people aren't agreeable to be upstairs and downstairs. That's why tzricha, you have both, we need to have the machloek is quoted both times. So Mishnah said, Bezdin gives a zman, that you should repair your tree, your wall. The Kama Zman Bezdin. What does the Zman Bezdin usually gives? Am Rabbi Yochanan, 30 days. So, there are a number of points to make. Number one, the Rishonim say that even though the Gemara is saying Shloishim Yoim, doesn't mean that it's a hard and fast rule of 30 days. Certainly, if Bezdin sees that 30 days is too long to wait, then they could give less than 30 days. Or if Bezdin sees, on the other hand, that there's no reason to make a pressure of 30 days, they could make it longer. The typical zman that Bezdin gives is Shloishim Yoim. Furthermore, I saw the Rishonim say that this is the basis that we know, we said this many times, that Stam Halvor, Stam Shela is Lamed Yoim. So we see in the halacha views 30 days as the typical term of events. There's a Gevaldige Wort from the Bnei Menachem. Here we're saying that Bezdin gives you 30 days to fix your field, your tree, your wall. Says the Pnei Menachem, that's what Rosh Chodesh Elul is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before the new year, gives us 30 days to repair ourselves and get ready for the new year. Says the Gemara, Misha Yekaisloi, so we learned in a situation of my wall was near your thing, and the halacha is that if I tell you that take the material and keep it, ain't Shemin Loi, you don't have to listen to me. Ask the Gemara. Hamidik Tani Seif, let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah is referring to a situation where I told you that take your expenses, and did you agree to take the stone? And then I said, no, let me take back that Avonim, and you take the expenses. It's unacceptable. So obviously, what is the Mishnah referring to a situation? The Peninu Askinen. That the stones, the Avonim, were cleared up. Tama, and it seems to be the reason why I can't force you to keep it, the Peninu. Because you already cleared it away. Hello, Peninu. But if you had not actually cleared it away, loy, then you couldn't keep those stones. Ask the Gemara, Mai, why do you actually have to do an act of picking up the stones that they should become yours? They should become yours anyway. The Tiknei Lesedeyu, the fact that they fell into your field should make them yours. Because haven't we learned the halacha many times? Your chatzar makes what's in your chatzar yours automatically. So why do you have to have that you actually clear them away to become yours? Even without clearing them away, they ought to become yours. So Tosfos asks, the fact that kinyan chatzar is an effective kinyan is a fact that we learned in the Mishnah. It's an old kinyan. Why do we need Rabbi Yosef of Chanina and a Moira to teach it to us? What's he teaching us more? So Tosfos answers, if I didn't have Rabbi Yosef of Chanina quoted here, we would think that the only time a kinyan chatzar is effective is when the person who owns the chatzar is actually there. And we then could say that the Mishnah is not referring to a situation that he's actually standing by his chatzar. Teaches us Rabbi Yosef of Chanina that for kinyan chatzar, that's his chiddush. That for kinyan chatz to be effective, you don't even have to be there. And therefore the Gemara is asking, why do you have to have that you actually cleared it away? Even without clearing away, it should become yours. However, the Rishonim also do point out another halacha, nice chazara, that we've learned many times, that for kinyan chatz to be effective, it has to be a chatz or a mishtameris. It has to be a chatz that's properly gated. If it's not properly gated, it's not effective. Answers the Gemara, if I intend to be matnas something to you, so there, your chatzar could affect the kinyan. Aval hocha, here, even though I'm telling you that I want you to have the stones, I don't really mean it. So why am I saying it? I'm just ishtemuti hu dekum ishtamit lei. So I'm just saying it. And therefore, since I'm just saying it, it won't become yours unless you actually do an act that are picking them up and they become yours. Say to Rishonim, when can one make this argument that I didn't mean what I said? If I said it to you, we're sitting in shul and I tell it to you. So I say, I just tried to say it, I didn't mean it. But if I was there by the field and told you you could keep the stones, then I can't say, that's too much of a stretch. Continues the Gemara. If I ask you to work with Tevin, I can't after, and I tell you I'm going to pay you cash, I can't back off and say I'll pay you Tevin. And then we also, so we ask the Gemara, isn't that the same as we learned before, that I can't force you to take the stones? The Tzricha. Vish minen lahach kamaisa, if we only had the first in the Mishnah, the ki amalei higiyucha, that when I tell you, keep the stones, ain't shaymalei, vishim delesle agregabei. I don't owe you anything. So I can't just go and tell you, keep those stones, they'll be yours. I don't owe you anything. Abel Hocha, what is the next case of the Mishnah? The next case of the Mishnah is, I hired you to work for me. And I taka told you I'm going to pay you a salary. And now instead of giving you the salary, I want to give you Tevin Vakash. It's like aggregate. So now you did your job, I owe you your salary. Ema, now that indeed I'm turning it around, and instead of giving you the salary, I want to give you Tevin Vakash, maybe Shemunloi, maybe I should be able to do that. Why? The Amri Inchi, people say, Memare Rishuscha Pari Ephra. It's wise advice. If somebody owes you money, take what you got, because you don't know if you're going to get anything else. So in the ratio, where my stones fell into your field, I don't owe you anything. So you don't really have a claim to me. So I can't just tell you they became yours. What do you mean they became yours? Here, in the second case, I owe you wages. And because there's always the concept that you should try to get your wages, maybe the halacha should require you to take the tevim kash, kamash malam. Here we could argue the other way around. We agreed into an arrangement where I said I'm going to pay you so much and so much for your work. So I can't change the terms and say, well, no, I'm not going to give you cash, I'm going to give you straw. Aval hocha, the lesle agregabe. I really don't owe you anything. And now I want to impose that you should take the avonim that are in your rishos, maybe shemeloi. That's why we have the Mishnah telling us in both situations, tzricha, that I can't force you to take these items. Ain't shamiloi. So the Mishnah said that if I told you that that I'm going to pay you cash and kesef, and then I want to give you tam v'kash, ain't shaymaloi. Ask the Gemara v'tanya, we learned in another braisa that shaymaloi, that I can't tell you that. Answer the Gemara, amarach nachman loy kasha. Kambishloi, if I ask you to work something that I undertook the obligation, so there I can't change the terms and say, you know what, instead of paying you kesef, I want to pay you tevin v'kash. But if I ask you to work b'shal chaveroi, the Gemara wants to suggest there I could take a different approach. Amlei Rav l'Rav Nachman. M'shaloi my tameloi. Why is the halacha that if I hired you to work in my business and I said I'm going to pay you kesef, I can't change the terms? Damlei, agrola. This was the agreement and you have to honor the agreement. Ask the Gemara b'shal chaveroi nami schar alav. In the case where I hide you to work with something that I don't own, doesn't change the rule. The Tanya, Hasaychas Apoya Lassus Bishaloi. If I hide you to work for me, Vahera Bishal Chaveri, so you report to work tomorrow morning, and instead of telling you to work on my field, I tell you to work in somebody else's field. The halacha is, Noislein Schara Bishalim, I have to honor our agreement and pay you the salary that we agreed upon, and then I could turn around, and tell you to turn around to the owner of the field, to benefit it from your work, and get back what I laid out. So what's the difference? So I want to tell you, where this concept came up. Unfortunately, it comes up that yeshivas don't always have the ability to pay the salaries in a proper, timely fashion. And there was a situation, there was a yeshiva that defaulted on paying its salaries, and the people who worked for the yeshiva took the menahel, the administrator, or yeshiva, whoever, to Din Torah. This goes back to the time of the Chofetz Chaim. And the menahel said, you weren't working for me, I don't own the yeshiva, I'm an administrator here. So I'm not a party to this Din Torah, said the Chavetz Chaim. It's not true. Because this is no different that if I hired you, and you know, and I tell you to work in somebody else's field, I have to pay you the salary. Because I was the one that committed to paying you. And saying that there's an excuse that I shouldn't be responsible because I don't own this business, Al Gemara teaches us not like that. But then I saw another Shaila. Actually, a question came up in Bezdin and Eretz Yisrael. There was somebody who was working as a mashgiach in a restaurant. But the arrangement was that the restaurant was paying the mashgiach. You know, the vada kashrus, the hechsher, placed the mashgiach in the position, but they weren't paying him. The arrangement was that the mashgiach would get paid from the establishment. The establishment went bankrupt. And the mashgiach was left holding that he didn't get a salary. So he couldn't take, well, it would be very complicated to take the establishment to Din Torah. They don't even exist anymore. They don't have any assets. So he took the Vada Kashrus to Din Torah. So Bezdin said that the Vada Kashrus is not responsible. Because they never undertook, in the case that we spoke about a moment ago, the menahel and the yeshiva undertook a responsibility to pay. So to take a position, I don't own the yeshiva, is unacceptable. Here the Vada Kashrus never accepted upon themselves the responsibility to pay the salary. And therefore they could argue that we don't have to pay it. I'm not commending it, I'm just saying the halacha. Ace Ela Amar Rav Nachman, Loikasha. Kambishaloi. If I hired you to work on my property, I can't change the terms of the deal. Kambishal Hefker, if I ask you to work, pick up something of Hefker, there I could pay you with Tevim Kash. Ask the Gemara, Esrei Rav L'Rav Nachman. We learned, Metzias Paila Atzmai. If a worker is working, and as he's working, he finds something, he keeps it. Amasai, when does the worker entitled to keep what he found? Bizman Sh'amaloi Balabayis Nachashim Yayoyim or Adam Yayoyim. I hired you for a specific job. So as long as you do your job, if you find a Metzi, you could keep it. Avalam Amaloi, Aseimi Malacha Yayoyim. I hired that all of your time is my time. Mitzias le'balabais. So you see, it doesn't make a difference And if it's Hefker, it's no difference. Your time is my time. Ela Amar Rav Nachman, like Kasha. Kambag Bo, Kambag Bota. It makes a difference how you picked up the item that is Hefker. If you picked it up, then it becomes yours, and I have to pay you cash. But if you only did Havata, you only looked at it, therefore I could tell you, instead of me paying you, take the item. Kambag Bo, Kambag Bota. So from here we seem to see, and the Gemara is going to begin to discuss it, that just looking at a Hefker item makes it yours. So the Rishonim point out that when we spoke about an Aveda, that if you find a lost object, there everybody agrees that just seeing it isn't enough that it should become yours. So why here is it enough? So Rishonim give two nafkaminas. One nafkamina, they say, is here the Habata is included when you're working. So it's a higher level habata, higher level looking at it. But if you just see an aved on the street and you look at it, that's not going to make it yours. Another teretz that I saw the Rishonim give is that by aveda, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, if you find a lost item, it doesn't become yours even if you pick it up. Because if the owner comes and he gives simonim, he could take it back. Hefker will become yours permanently. And that's why it's easier to acquire Hefker than to acquire an Aveda. Says the Gemara, Habata b'Hefker tanai, Amar Rava, Habata b'Hefker tanai. This question, if just looking at something that's Hefker, will it make it yours, is actually Machlokes Tanoim. The Tan, we went to the Mishnah. Saimrei Svicha, Shvius, Noitun Schar Metrumas Alishkim. We know that every day, on the second day of Pesach, they brought a carbon omer. The carbon omer was from the new barley of that year. They used to send out people to collect that barley. And the Gemara is not going to quote the Mishnah that discusses how these people were paid to pick and watch this barley. The Rishonim and Achronim discuss how could they watch this barley that it should be used for the carbon omer. We know that Meshumer, to guard a field during the Shemitah year, is Asr. So some Rishonim say that it wasn't real Shemira. All they did was that they told any person that tried to approach this field, you know, we want to use this barley for the carbon. And the people on their own stayed away. That's not called Meshumer. Another pshat that I saw is that they were only Shemir it for from animals. They weren't shomer it from humans. And if it's not a shmir from everything, it's not considered mashumer. Another teretz, there are two versions of this teretz, similar versions, is that if I'm shomer something, not because I want to use it, I'm shomer it that Hegdish should be, that somebody else should use it, or another version, that Hegdish should use it, that's not called the Issa Mashumer. The Issa Mashumer only applies when I watch it for my own personal benefit. And the last teretz is that the Issa Meshumer on a field during Shemitah is only if I watch the entire field. Here they only watch the small patch of the field, Sfasem says the Steretz, and that's why it's not considered Meshumer. So says the Mishnah again, Shemrei Yisroich HaShviyis Noitun Tzuchar Metrumas Alishka. They got their salary from Hegdish. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and he says, HaRoitza Mesnadiv Hu V'Shem Echinam. If somebody wants, he could donate his time. Amalai, at the Oymakein, if somebody does this, ain't by Michel Tzibur. Then we'll have a problem that the Oymer, the barley that's supposed to be used for the carbon Tzibur, will not be coming from the entire community. What is the Machlaikas? Malabakamafki. The Tam Kama Sover, the Tanakama holds, Habot Behefkakani. That just looking at something makes it yours. Therefore, Viyavlai Agra. If I get paid for this job, if I get paid for this job, it makes it into Hegdish. V'loi, loi. Rabbi Yosef Sover, habat b'hefka loi kani. V'chi ozlet tzibur, so even though I'm watching it, it doesn't become mine. So when I go and I watch it, and then ultimately when it comes to cut, the tzibur, the Hegdish comes and cuts it, hashtu de kazachabei. That becomes Hegdishes at that time, and therefore it's perfectly acceptable. Ein oimer v'shtei lechem boimer shel tzibur. According to you, that I bought the behefka v'kani, there'll be a problem that this item won't be coming from the tzibur, where carbon tzibur must come from the tzibur. Amar Rava, so Rava disagrees. Loi, the kula amar bought the behefka kani. Everybody could agree that just looking at a hefka item is enough. What is the machlokes here? He says the machlokes is a different subject altogether. The concern here is, will I properly give it over to Hekdesh? The abundant savri, yavina le'agra. I pay you a salary. Why? Because if I do it for free, what happens? I pick up this barley, it becomes mine, and then I'm going to give it to the tzibur. There's chashash, shemo yimstrum yafi yafa. Maybe you won't give it over properly. Rabbi Yossi Tzava, lechashinen, shemer lo yimstrum yafi yafa. We don't have to worry. If I watch it for free, and then I give it to the tzibur, why do we have to worry? Omata oimer hachi kamalei. But the verecha, according to what you're saying, that a yochid could watch it, we who have the chashash, Shema Yilayim Srim Yafa, that the Shomer won't give it over properly to the Tzibur. We're going to have a problem that ain't Oim Vishtei Lachem Boim Shat Tzibur. Ikadamri, another version. Rav Am the Kulam Abat the Behef Geloi Tana. Just looking at something doesn't make it yours. Vahacha, the Cheshin and Lebal is Rois Kamifki. The concern is, do we have to worry, will somebody come and take the, grab this? Tanakam Sava, the Tekinah Le Rabban Le Mesel Arbezuzi. Chazal said the person who watches this field should get paid. Kihecha, the Lishmu Bali's Royce, that the people who work on the field should know that this is a Hegdish position, Velifish Menayu, and they'll stay away. Rabbi Yossi Sava, Rabbi Yossi on the other hand holds, Loi, Umata Amma, and what is the concern? Hachkamli, but Verechlet Verenu, Ein Bar Mishal Tzibur. According to you, that it's a Yochid who's donating his efforts to watch this field, we may end up with a situation that this item won't end up by tzibur because people will take it away. Says the Mishnah, somebody carries out manure with Rishus Rabbim. Hamaitzi, maitzi, you're allowed to take it out. Mazabel, mazabel, and you're allowed to trample on it and let you turn it into fertilizer. We'll discuss this more in the Gemara. Ain't shayrin tit b'shus rabim. You're not allowed to soak tit to make it into bricks in b'shus rabim, because it's a very long process, and it could cause somebody to slip and get hurt. Ain't loivlim veinim. Similarly, you're not allowed to make bricks. Again, it takes a long time for them to dry, and someone could get hurt. Ava goivlim tit b'shus rabim, just to mix the cement, which is a short process, may be done in Rishus Rabbim, Avaloi Levenim. You're not allowed to mix bricks. And like the Achronim explain, there are two parts to making bricks, and both take a long time, and that's why both are Asur. One is leaving them out to dry, and that's why it's Asur, and the other is mixing them, also takes a long time, and that's why both are Asur. It says, Abayin B'Rishus Rabbim. You need to build something, and you need to go into the Rishus Rabbim. So Allah is, and maybe Avon and maybe, whoever needs to bring the stones, their building materials may bring him. Fabina, Bina, whoever needs to build will build. Mizik, but that even though you're allowed to build because you have no other way of building, you're still responsible for what you do. Vishal Masha Hizik. Shimgamilimer, Af Misaknus Malachtoi Ufnesha Smyoim. You could tell people, you could put up a sign, or you have 30 days to put up things in Shusarab. Leimas Nisan asked the Gemara to like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'Shvas HaTzolz Volim, at the time of the year where people take their Zevel out into Shus Rabbim, the Aloch is Adam Maitzi L'Zevel of Shus Rabbim, V'Tzarvim Shom Kol Shloshim Yoyim. You can leave it out there for Shus Rabbim, all for 30 days, Kidei Shein Nishuf, B'Ragli Adam, or B'Ragli Behem, that it should be trampled by people, by animals, Shemanas Kain Hilcha Yeshua L'Yisrael Esa'aretz. That was part of what Yeshua agreed upon when they entered Eretz Yisrael, that for the purpose of society, for the purpose of having fertilizer, you may do this. Answer to Gemara, our Mishnah does not necessarily contradict Rabbi Yehuda. A feel of time Rabbi Yehuda. My dear Rabbi Yehuda, Shem Hizik, that if it did damage, you're allowed to take out the Zevel. But if it does damage, Chayv L'Shalom, you'll be responsible. Ask the Gemara, But it's not murder b'yudah b'ner Chanukah shupater. That if somebody puts out his Chanukah menorah, and we learned the Gemara Masechta Baba Kama, and that something gets burnt because of it, he's potter. Mnesha also rishus. My laugh, rishus bezdin. So we see that if you have rishus bezdin, you're allowed to do it. Says the Gemara, loy. There it's a different situation, rishus the mitzvah. And I saw a very nice pshat in explaining the Gemara. The truth of the matter is, we know the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, you could put up a menorah up to chof amo, up to 20 amo. So one perhaps could argue, put your menorah up very high, within the shear of the halacha, and therefore anybody that will walk by won't get damaged. Why did you have to put your menorah so low, and now somebody got burnt? Teaches us Rabbi Yehuda, yes, you can put your menorah up to 20 amma, but it's still very high. And we want, what is the whole mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? The whole mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is presuming Nisa, that everybody should see the menorah. So even though, by putting the menorah lower, you're exposing it, that's going to do damage, since that is the actual mitzvah of Chanukah, of causing the Prasimanissa, you're allowed to do it, and you won't be held responsible. With this pshat, it'll be, at least at this point of the Gemara, it'll be strictly the menorah, where we have this concept of Prasimanissa, that I could do this. No other item. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that our Mishnah is consistent with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Vatanya, call Eilu Sharmu Matarim LaKalka B'Shus Rabim. Anything that we said that you're allowed to punch Rabim that could do damage, Daloch Yizim Hizik, Chayiv L'Shalom. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you're allowed to put it there, if it does damage, it's Potter. Ella, Machvarta, Masnista like Rabbi Yehuda, we have to say that our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Yehuda. Amar Abai, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, Kula Sfirulei, they all are of the opinion. The Kol Malchum Shenosnu Chacham Rishus, wherever we were given Rishus to put something for Hizik, and then it does damage, we're Potter. Rabbi Yehuda, Hadamar, that we just explained about the Zevel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Tan, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Leimer. Af Besak, we learned at the end of our Mishnah, that if I'm allowed to build a Rishus Rabin, I could put out my materials, and even if they do damage, Lefnei Shloshim Yom, I'm not Chayiv. Rabbi Shimon, the Tanan. If I put up my oven on the upper floor, so how much of support does it have to have? You have to have a plaster under it of 3 tefachim. A bakira, that's by a tanner, a big furnace. By kira, a tefach salaf. Bemhizik, if I put it up properly and it does damage, mishal masha hizik. Says the Braisa, Hachatzav Shemotzel Alasav. There's somebody carrying bricks. So the person carrying the bricks gives it to the person who's arranging them. So once I give it over to the person that's arranging it, Hasas is Chayiv. He becomes Chayiv and I'm Potter. Hasasav Shemotzel Chamer, Hacham Chayiv. Whoever I give it over to becomes responsible. Hacham Shemotzel Katev, Hakatev Chayiv. Hakatev Shemotzel Benoy, I give it over to the builder. So now he is responsible. Habanoi Chayiv. Habanoi Shmosel Adrikal. He does like the final touches. Adrikal Chayiv. Vimnich Erven Av Aladimus Vizika Kulun Chayiv Nusham. If you put something down and it does damage, all of them are responsible. Ask them of Atanya. We learned in another Bryce, Achon Chayiv, the Kulun Paturim. Only the last person is Chayiv, nobody before. And it's the Gemara Lekasha. Kambas Chiris Kam Kabalonis. There's a difference if he's working for me by the day or is he working for me by the job. And this is the way that we should explain the Gemara. If I hire a contractor that has a team of people to get the job done, they're all responsible together. On the other hand, if I hire people, each one for a specific job, once he finishes his job, he's no longer responsible. So the Miri asks, obviously, if I hire you for a job and you finish your part and you give it over to the next person, so you're finished, why should you be responsible? Answers the Meiri, the Gemara is referring to a situation that even though each one of us has our very specific job, it's a situation where each one of us helps the other one. And maybe that should make it be considered that we're all doing the job together. Kamash Malan, that since the way it's the job is constructed is that each one of us has a separate job, when I finish mine, I'm finished.